welcome to our Good Place podcast that is run by Good Place Innovators, a team of researchers, educators, and student fellows passionate about transforming communities with an extra sensitive eye for our place, local context, and true community needs. My name is Radka Newton. I'm a senior teaching fellow in strategy and innovation at Lancaster University Management School, and I'm also an education service designer and a lead of Good Place Innovators project funded by the Enterprise Educators UK. In this podcast, we have inspired educators to incorporate place-based pedagogy to their curriculum. We spoke to entrepreneurs who have impacted on their places and made commitments to place-making agenda. We also debated the notion of civic university and the role of local council. And today we welcome a key partner to our project, Tony Johnson, who is a manager of Lancaster Business Improvement District. Tony, welcome.
Thank you, Radka.
To start with, could you share with us the remit of BIT and the context of your role and how it's evolved over the recent years, and maybe touch a little bit on the relationship with the uni?
No problem at all. Yeah, Lancaster BID was formed just over 9 years ago, and there's 335 BIDs now in the UK. We don't just exist. The business community basically vote on whether we're doing what they want us to do. So we initially served a 3-year term, got voted back in, did a 5-year term, and I'm proud to say last February we had an 80% majority vote that the business community wanted us to stay. Each term we put together a business plan that the business community voters for us on. Our business plan this 5 years has 5 pillars that we always stick to. We represent 383 businesses, which, as you can imagine, isn't the easiest thing to do on a day-to-day basis, but we try our best. And they range from, you know, multinational companies to small independent companies. We have set rules, like all BIDs do, that we must adhere to based on rateable value and other things I can talk to you about if it's of interest. But yeah, and basically my role within that is to deliver the business plan. I'm managed by 5 directors and also a management board, and they sort of steer me and 2 part-time colleagues, and then we try and deliver said business plan. You asked about our relationship with the university. I think it's a good one and ever increasing and developing, which is great because, you know, fair to say in the past, sometimes it's been seen as a them and us. And I think certainly over the years I've been with BID, which is 3 years, that relationship has been getting stronger and stronger. And that's for the betterment of the city, really. I feel that the university is a massive player in this area, and it seems daft that just because the campus is based 2-3 miles away from the city centre that we're not working together on loads of things. So I'm pleased to say that that's really improved.
385 businesses, I didn't realise that. And when you talk about the business community, it sort of seems quite abstract to me, and I imagine it's a very heterogeneous community. How does it work in practice that they sort of vote on this business plan? Can you explain, or maybe, you know, shed some light into the practicalities on how this works?
Yeah, it is mad, really, because as I say, it's a huge number. But realistically, we work with a lot of national brands, so the store managers, while would have an influence and they would sort of work with us. Realistically, the decision made by national companies is done at a head office, you know, whether that be based in London, Birmingham, Manchester, wherever. But they won't just be voting on Lancaster BID. They'll be voting on Stratford BID, Coventry BID, wherever, numerous, you know, wherever Sainsbury's are, chances are there will be a BID in that town or city. So theirs is a slightly different decision. And what you find with national brands is they either are very pro BIDs, or they are very against it. It's a very black and white thing. Whereas with Lancaster, we have 66%, I think it is, Radka, of our businesses are independently owned. So as you can imagine, we try and do a lot more closer work with them, because it's how you interact with them realistically that is going to make us be in Lancaster or not, because they are usually sole decision makers or partner decision makers. So. And it can be the difference between tidying up the streets and not, to whether they vote for you, making the streets safe and secure, to whether they vote for you or not. So I don't want it to sound political, but sometimes it can be. They're voting on a team and a plan, and you sort of got to stick with your sword, really, and convince them that you know, without us, what would Lancaster City Centre look like? You know, because we bring a lot of events to the city, we tidy the city, we make the streets safer. Without BID, who would pay for that? Where would that come from? And I have a simple way of dealing with businesses. I always say, if we can help, we can. If we can't, we'll tell you why we can't. But we'll also try and find somebody or an organisation that will. And when you're as honest as that, what can people say?
Mm. And what kind of place is Lancaster? You know, how would you, so what are the challenges of the city?
It's a really great question. It's an interesting one for me as well, because I know you know I'm a local lad, born and bred. I've lived here all my life, and there's a reason I stay here. I really like it. So if you're asking me what it's like, you know, I really, really like, I love the place, I love the district, I love the whole area, not just Lancaster. What is it like, and what it's people like? I mean, I've been fortunate enough, I've done a little bit of travelling, and not just in this country, but a lot of places. And I find my frustration sometimes with Lancaster is that we're a bit manana, we're a bit slow at making decisions. We come up with lots of really good ideas, talk good game, but sometimes it's getting it over the finish line that sometimes frustrates me, not only professionally, but personally. Because I think we live in a lovely part of the world, and sometimes we don't make enough of it. We don't announce it enough. I always use the example, you live in Yorkshire. Yorkshire folk are so proud of where they live. They talk about it all the time, yet us in Lancaster, in Lancashire, we're just like this, yeah, it's okay, isn't it? And it's slightly frustrating.
Mm. Yeah, we always say, you know, it's like the best hidden secret. And the same goes about the university. You know, we have the same sort of reputation that we're very good, but we're sort of a bit shy and not really shout out about it like other places. Which just sort of brings me to another question. And in previous episodes, we sort of explored the ways entrepreneurs navigate the relationship with the place and how they actually, how are they able to understand the place dynamics and the needs of the community. So I guess you have quite a big role in this. Do you see yourself as a bit of a conduit between these sort of local entrepreneurs or even people coming in here, wanting to settle here, and you're almost like the guardian? Or how would you see that role that you have?
Yeah, it's a good point, because I have to be honest with you. As I said, I've been BID manager for 3 years, and it took me a little bit of time to get my head around it. In that, if you break down the BID, it is a business to business organisation. We would not exist without the businesses. But if you spin it over, the businesses need us to link the public with them, because they, the majority of businesses that pay into our levy, rely on Joe Public. Yes, there's some service businesses, but the majority rely on Joe Public. Well, they all do, really. So we've got to join the two together. And I think, I feel that's what I've brought to the table with my commercial background. I think I've made a bit more of a link and tried to make the BID brand more popular, more people aware of it. Because I'm with you, I think we are really important. I think we can act as that conduit. We can bring partners together. We have a lot of contacts, you know, whether it be in the city council, the police, the university. We're in the middle of a lot of conversations, and that's a nice position to be in. We've no political agenda per se, because we represent the business community. That's the other thing that is hard to get your head around. One business might say to us that we don't like the parking charges, and all of your businesses agree, but unless you ask them all, we can't say, based on one conversation, the BID says we don't like parking charges. We've got to get this representation from as many of them 383 businesses as we can. If all of a sudden 250 say they don't like the parking charges, well, we have got to do something about it, and we can do. But I don't know if that answers you quite. I think from an entrepreneur's point of view, I think Lancaster has a heck of a lot to offer. And I go back to my point earlier, is that if people agree with my opinion that we maybe do underachieve and undersell ourselves, the great thing with that position is you can only go one way. And being part of that ride as an entrepreneur should mean you're going in the right direction and success might follow. So we talk with lots of startup businesses, people moving to the area about, you know, how successful or unsuccessful certain streets, locations are in the city centre. Because, as I said earlier, we have got data that shows movement across the city. So we can help businesses make a uniform decision about whether they want to be in New Street or Market Street or Penny Street or avoid Lancaster at all costs, you know. Bids are important. They really are. And I think there was a big fear when the pandemic broke that bids might struggle. I think, dare I say it, one thing the pandemic did for bids was made bids more important to the business community and the communities in which they serve.
I mean, I attended one of your breakfasts and I really enjoyed it because I could see how open the businesses were. There is no filter, really. But at the same time, you know, the panel you had there, the police, like the involvement of the police, for example, and they were just fantastic discussions. And the energy in the room, even though there was some frustration and there are issues, but people somehow genuinely really felt, you know, they wanted to address it. They care. So if you have that passion, even if, you know, sometimes it may feel a bit negative, you know, these people care. And that's really nice to see. And I guess that's been sort of my aspiration of bringing the students every year to the city centre, you know, spend some sort of few weeks deliberating over sort of these potential innovations. And you've always been a part of it. That's how we met. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. What has this sort of meant to you or to the bit? Because, you know, for us, it's been a big eye-opener and we always really appreciated your contribution. Have we managed to reciprocate anything as well in this partnership?
Absolutely. I think I said to you, Radka, when we first met, when I did that session with your students, possibly back in October, I think it was, you know, I'm a 48-year-old guy who's never been to university. So to actually spend some, you know, what was it, an hour? Spend an hour with students of an age far younger than me in a different era, knowing what they want, expect, their challenges that they have compared to the ones that I had when I was their age. It blew my mind, really, and I really, really enjoyed the session. I hope the students did. And that really brought us to try and do the event that where we brought some businesses up to have a chat with more of your students. For them to really, it's all right me telling businesses what students are saying, but I think for the businesses to hear it for themselves, I think it opened their eyes to certain things. And the great thing was, as you know, we had Primark and Marks and Spencers there, and then we had independently owned businesses, and yet they all took away something that they can try and bring to their businesses or take to their businesses. So you said, has that been reciprocated? Of course it has, because, you know, based on an hour with 24 students, gets business people thinking on how they can change, adapt in an ever-changing world that we live in. And as I say, especially for the students, and going back to something I haven't said, students are so important to the economy of Lancaster. You know, when I first set out 25 years dealing with businesses, trying to sell them advertising, I used to come against, oh, the students, I don't need students in my business. I don't think there's any business now in Lancaster that says that. They realise how important the students are to Lancaster and the economy of Lancaster. So, and I think that will carry on changing. So,
and in some of our previous episodes, we discussed this notion of students as transients and how they just, you know, almost just come and go, really. So some of them only spent 12 months with us and they never go to the city. So for us, this initiative really helped the students feel they belong, they are the stakeholders, the businesses care about their opinion. So I think, you know, it's just such a fantastic initiative for us as well. And for those students as future entrepreneurs, you know, I think they will now look at places where they do business differently. And they're already looking differently at Lancaster.
Yeah.
You know, they've developed a different relationship. We also spoke to Andy Walker from Lancashire County Council, and we debated this sort of levelling up agenda. And I wonder, what's your view, you know, about this, and will it, or how will this levelling up agenda support Lancaster business community?
I think Lancaster, it's a strange one. I think whenever there's funding to be had, because Lancaster is quite a safe place, it's quite a liberal place, it's not the most affluent of cities in the country, but it's also not at the other end. I suppose what I'm trying to say is, when it comes to levelling up and funding opportunities, Lancaster sits in the middle, so perhaps misses out on lots of funding that there are available. I think where the district should benefit from the levelling up, and I know the university is heavily involved in Eden Project. I think you know, us in Lancaster as a business community so hope that happens. Again, going back to my point of being a local lad, just because I represent Lancaster doesn't mean I want brilliant things on our doorstep in Morecambe. I mean, they're only 3 miles away, for God's sake. So I hope the levelling up happens for Morecambe and the Eden Project. As I say, I just don't know where it fits into Lancaster. You sort of wish and hope it did. I know when I used to deal with the police about trying to get funding from the police for certain things, they couldn't get funding because their crime rates weren't bad enough. So there was no money to be had. I mean, it's a great thing, but then when you want to do something, a brand new project, you can't afford it.
Yeah, you are right, you know, and we discussed this with Andy about this heterogeneous nature of Lancashire. So we can't just assume we're all the same. And I guess, yeah, it's an interesting point about Lancaster being sort of something in the middle. Yeah, you are right. Yeah, it's a good point. And I wonder, so from the BID point of view, what's your aspiration for the city? What do you want to achieve?
Obviously, selfishly, I want to achieve lots. But going back to my point of dealing with 383 businesses, I know I've been around long enough that whatever we do, not everybody will always be happy with what we're doing. So as long as the majority are, that'll be a win for me, very selfishly. But for the city, my aspirations for the city, I think we've got a lot going for us. We're going in the right direction. One thing I really want to get out there, though, to visitors to Lancaster or people that have never been to Lancaster before, is the fantastic heritage of Lancaster. Going back to the underselling ourselves, if there's anything we undersell ourselves with, it's our fantastic heritage. You know, the castle, the cathedral, the priory, the grand, you know, the Royal King's Arms, all of this history. And yet, if you're a visitor coming in, how do you get to see them all? Where's the tours? Where's the connection? And again, I think BID has an important part to play in that, going back to that conduit thing. But with everything else that we've got on our plate, it's just another thing to focus on. But I would love to get that heritage Lancaster thing going better. I just think we so undersell ourselves. If you compare us to York, I'm not suggesting we're better than York, but we've got quite a lot to offer like York has from that perspective. And yet, as I say, if I go to York tomorrow, I know that I'll get a tour of this, a tour of that, a tour of the other on one ticket price. There'll be someone to show me around. I haven't got it in Lancaster, so.
Well, what a great message. So future entrepreneurs or existing entrepreneurs, if you are listening, you know, there is a bait for you, because I definitely agree that this is something missing in this place. Well, Tony, we're coming to the end of the episode. So, I mean, there is so much we could talk about, but I really want to ask you about, and I ask every guest, so don't worry, I don't want to catch you out. What is your place? Where do you feel placed?
As I said earlier, Radka, you know, I'm a local lad born and bred. I'm 48 years of age. I've had chances to move away from the area. I never had a chance to go to America at one point, and I didn't. I just feel at home here, and I used to sometimes, when I was younger, I sort of questioned that on did I have the motivation to succeed, you know, wanting to stay in little old sleepy Lancaster district. But on reflection, it's been a great move, because I feel place when I walked down the streets of the city centre, and no word of a lie, every day I walk down them, I will see somebody I know. Now, I know I deal with every business in the city centre, so you're probably saying, well, you've got better odds than everybody else, Tony. But what I mean by that, not just business owners, I know lots of people locally in, from different walks of life, and that makes me feel really comfortable. I also, you know, on our doorstep, Morecambe Front, you drive down there on a certain night. As I said earlier, I've travelled quite a bit. There's not many better sites than Morecambe Front at certain times. It's beautiful. I'm a big golfer. I play golf at Heysham. So the whole district is who I am, really. As much as I like to travel, I always like to come back to it because it's home.
And that's wonderful to hear from you. And I hope that every city or every bit has a local lad or local lass, because it just makes so much different to have that emotional connection to the place. Thank you so much, Tony. It was absolute pleasure having you with us, and thank you for supporting our project as well. And you know, this connection that we have with you, with the curriculum, it's made a massive impact on our students. So that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed our debate, and perhaps you have a Tony in your city or town who is open to connecting your students with the locality as a resource and inspiration. Feel free to drop us a message, comment or recommendation. And until next time, take care.